Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys get a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jason Staples. And we're going to go a little bit outside of our normal field for this episode. Going to do a very brief discussion of tonight's national championship game in advance of the game against the game between Clemson and Alabama. Just enough interesting stuff in there that pertains to Florida State's next opponent in Alabama, and a team that Florida State obviously plays every year in their own division in Clemson. And I got a few thoughts on this that I thought I'd throw out there before the game, just because. So getting right to it, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I know I'm not the only one. There are a number of pundits that have been saying this this week. I've probably been on this train as long as anyone not associated with the Clemson program, but I think Clemson's going to win the football game tonight. I think they're obviously Alabama can win the game, but in terms of win probability, I think Clemson is more likely to win the national championship in tonight's national title game than Alabama is. I think they're the better matchup. Alabama may be the better overall team. If you played a round robin of, say, the top 15 teams in the country, Alabama might win more than Clemson. But between these two teams, I think Clemson happens to match up in just the right spots to beat this Alabama team. And there are a couple reasons why I think this. Number one is I'm not convinced Alabama can really score all that much against Clemson's defense. Alabama has has one of the best defenses I think I've ever seen. Certainly the best defense in the last few years. But when they've played better defenses in 2016, they've struggled not only to score, but to move the football. And that's because that Alabama offense has been extremely one-dimensional in 2016. And I think a lot of people forget how important Jake Coker was to Alabama winning the national championship last year. Alabama does not win the national championship. They don't beat Clemson in the national title game last year without a really good football game from Jake Coker, who didn't exactly match Deshaun Watson play for play, Watson going for 405 passing yards and four touchdowns, only one interception. But Coker threw for 335 yards and two scores, no interceptions. He created big plays down the field. He spread the football to key contributors. Do you really see Jalen Hurts doing that this year? Do you really see Jalen Hurts being able to go downfield and threaten Clemson secondary after watching him against Florida or Washington or Auburn or LSU? And honestly, the defense that's closest to Clemson in terms of not only quality, but in terms of what they bring to the table personnel-wise, is that LSU defense. And Alabama managed to put up 10 points on, 323 total yards, 5.6 yards per pass. I mean, they averaged just about around 4.5 yards per play against that LSU defense. And Jalen Hurts, 10 of 19 for 107 yards passing in that game. Now, yes, everybody wants to talk about Jalen Hurts and his legs and how much of an extra dimension they brought to the Alabama offense. And, you know, how great it is that Alabama has joined the ranks of those teams that run more RPO stuff and run their quarterback a bunch. And he did have 20 carries for 114 yards against LSU, including that 28-yard touchdown that sealed it. But talk to any coach in the country and ask him whether he'd rather have a quarterback who runs well or a quarterback who can threaten teams down the field and be a quality game manager and spread the football to all the playmakers. And you say, you're going to have Alabama talent. Now, which would you prefer? Pretty much every coach in the country is going to prefer the guy that's going to be the consistent thrower. And that's because throwing the football is a better complement to running the football with the deep stable of running backs that Alabama has, with Bo Scarborough emerging and Damian Harris obviously having been really good all year. You know, they've got as many running backs of quality as anybody in the country. If you want to have balance, if you want to complement that, what do you want? You want a guy who can throw deep, who can challenge teams with precision in the passing game and threaten teams secondary, not so much the guy who threatens with the ability to run with his legs, because that, again, that's only sort of a half of another dimension. You're just having to account for another person in the running game, but not necessarily having to concern yourself as much with the big play threats and other things that you that might be opened in play action down the field. And this is where I think that gets really interesting, because Jalen Hurts has not completed over 50% of his passes against the top 10 defenses that he faced in 2016. And I think if he has a similar game to that in the national championship game, if Alabama can't get some plays out of their passing game that are some explosive plays, some move the chains plays, then Clemson's going to win this game. And the reason for that is Clemson can score, and they will score against Alabama's defense. Alabama is not going to hold Clemson to 0 points like they did LSU. Danny Etling is not running through that tunnel for Clemson. Clemson's going to be able to put Mike Williams out there one-on-one with whoever Alabama wants to trot out there, and he's going to win his share of matchups. Clemson's going to be able to put 4 or 5 playmakers out there on the field and let Deshaun Watson distribute. And because he can do that, and because he can move with his legs, and because they've got Wayne Gallman and other threats in terms of the running game, their offense is multidimensional enough that no defense is going to shut them out. They're going to be able to score. They scored 45 on Alabama last year, and that Alabama defense last year was basically the same group as this group, but with some additional depth up front. Now, this group, I think, in terms of, because of who they've got primarily featured on the edge and all that, they've got a better overall pass rush on the field most of the time. I think they're more mature in the secondary than they were last year. But let's not pretend that Clemson cannot score on this Alabama defense. Alabama gave up over 40 to Ole Miss when Ole Miss had Chad Kelly early in the year. Alabama, this is as good as this Alabama defense is, they can give up points to a quality quarterback with big wide receivers. If that, you know, in a quality dual threat quarterback with big wide receivers, it's amazing how, you know, even Alabama struggles against those guys. That's not a Florida State only, Charles Kelly only problem. Alabama gave up 43 points to Ole Miss this year, and Clemson's going to have studied that pretty heavily to make sure that they're doing a lot of the same things that Ole Miss was able to do in that game. And some of those things you can only do if you have an NFL type prospect at quarterback, and Clemson happens to, and they've got NFL receivers who can put stress on Alabama in ways that nobody other than Ole Miss on Alabama's schedule this year has been able to do. Texas A&M had a few of those wide receivers, but they didn't have the quarterback. Aside from that, there's been nobody else. The other thing on this is that I think Clemson has played a group of teams that are more similar to the problems that Alabama presents them than what Alabama has played in terms of what they're going to see with Clemson. Clemson has already played a defense very similar to Alabama's. By the time they played Florida State's defense, that defense up front presented basically a very similar problem, very similar issues to what they're going to face with Alabama this year. Same thing, Ohio State's defense is a very, very good defense. They've faced some of those same things, and they've been able to deal with that. Now, I will say that Alabama will be studying that Florida State Clemson, or will have been studying that Florida State Clemson game film fairly heavily because of what Florida State was able to do to Clemson defensively, or well, Florida State's offense was able to do to Clemson's defense, it, particularly with some of the counter tray and the power stuff that they were able to do to get Dalvin Cook loose. Now, the thing is, I think it's still going to be difficult for Bama to replicate that for a couple reasons. One is they don't have, as good as Bo Scarborough is and as good as the rest of that Alabama running game is, they don't have Dalvin Cook. So that changes things a little bit. The other thing is, and as I've gone back and looked through some things this year, I've gained more and more respect for what Jimbo Fisher did as an offensive coach, particularly as the year went on in growing this offense. You realize Florida State scored more than 30 points against Clemson, Florida, and Michigan with a quarterback who completed less than 50% of his passes in each of those games. Now, Jalen Hurts has completed less than 50% of his passes against top 10 defenses as well, but when he's done that, Alabama's offense has not been as successful as Florida State's offense was against those top 10 defenses, despite their inability to get consistent passing. And it's been really interesting to see how Fisher has been able to call around some of that inconsistency and has been able to use the other aspects of his offense to get success against top 10 defenses. Now, obviously, when you have the ability to lean on Dalvin Cook, that changes things a little bit. But when you go back and you watch the Clemson Florida State game, it's obvious that Clemson had to respect Florida State's passing game enough because of what they'd been able to show in terms of producing some explosive plays. They had to respect DeAndre Francois' arm enough that some of those edges opened up and some of those things were there for Dalvin Cook, particularly in the second half. And the way that Fisher called that to make sure that Clemson had to constantly be concerned about Francois' arm and all the first down play action passes and so on that they did, even when he was missing him. It's interesting to see how much impact that had against Clemson. Now, all this goes to say that I think that this Clemson-Alabama game is actually really similar in so many respects to what we saw with Florida State-Michigan. Michigan was favored by about 7 going into the game, but I thought Florida State was the better team in terms of the matchups and would probably win the game so long as they weren't more than -2 in turnover margin. And as it turned out, they wound up -2, and the game on the scoreboard wound up pretty much even, despite Florida State essentially being by a significant margin pretty obviously the better team throughout the game. I think this is a pretty similar situation where Alabama's, I think last I checked, a 6.5-point favorite. And again, a very defense-heavy, offensively challenged against better teams program or team this year. And that against a more dynamic, more balanced team overall with a great defensive line, that being Clemson, and it could have stood also for Florida State. And I just look at it and I say, okay, which team do I know can score? Clemson. Which team, again, in the Florida State-Michigan game, did I know could score at some point, could produce explosive plays enough to create points against the great defense? Florida State. And on the other side, could you trust the Michigan offense or the Alabama offense to score against a top 10 defense? Not necessarily. More one-dimensional. Now, Alabama's obviously a lot better offensively than Michigan. I mean, Alabama has a top 15 offense overall, opponent adjusted anyway. But they're one-dimensional, and I don't see Jake Coker. I don't see a Jake Coker performance coming out of Jalen Hurts. And I think really this game boils down to the following. If Clemson does not turn the ball over and give the Alabama defense those not scores, you know, not offensive scores, without a not score or two, I think Clemson wins the game. Unless Jalen Hurts somehow comes out and manages to surprise everyone and put up a Jake Coker type performance in the national title game where he, you know, throws a couple touchdowns and say 300 yards or, you know, 250 plus yards on a reasonably efficient passing performance, I think Clemson wins this game in the absence of those two things. If Deshaun Watson doesn't throw it to Alabama a bunch, if Alabama's defense doesn't set up multiple scores for Alabama, I think Alabama needs to be plus two in this game, more than likely. If that doesn't happen, or Jalen Hurts doesn't come out and surprise everyone with passing efficiency in this game, then Clemson is going to win a national championship. Now, Clemson has turned the football over this year. That has been their Achilles heel. That's what cost them against Pitt. It very nearly cost them against Florida State. It nearly cost them against NC State, where they turned it over a bunch in the red zone. So they've been prone to turnovers. And if they turn the ball over, then nobody's beating Bama. You know, if you're -2, -3 against Bama, you're not going to win that game. You're giving that team too good a field position, and you're digging yourself too big a hole. But in the absence of doing that, and in the absence of being, say, -2 or worse, I think Clemson wins the game. And you know, that's crazy to say, but it's about matchups. And I think, ultimately, Clemson's defensive line is good enough, their defensive front is good enough to limit Alabama very similarly to how Washington did in the national semifinal. Washington held Alabama offensively pretty well off the scoreboard. Alabama scored 17 offensive points against Washington. And then they had the one pick six. I don't think Alabama scores more than 24, 28 points in this game. I think if Clemson hits 30, they win the game. Because I don't think Alabama can score that much against a quality defense like Clemson without some help from Clemson's offense. And I think Clemson's defensive line and their overall front is good enough that if they're not giving Alabama super short fields and this sort of thing, Alabama's going to end up in a situation where they're going to have to throw more. Clemson's going to get a lead, and Alabama's going to have to play from behind. And Alabama playing from behind with Jalen Hurts could get really, really interesting. And that's what I expect. I think Alabama's going to wind up playing from behind in this game, and we haven't seen that in a really long time. Have not seen that in a really, really long time. Now, on the flip side, if Clemson turns it over a little bit, if Alabama's able to play from ahead, then I do think ultimately Alabama's depth in the fourth quarter wears Clemson down. That's where, if this game is, say, a three-point game with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, then I think Alabama may well win the game, because they'll probably start to be able to run the football on that Clemson front, which is going to get tired by that point in the game, just like they did against Florida State. But I honestly don't see that happening, because I think Clemson's going to be up by a score or two going into that fourth quarter, and it's going to be harder for Alabama to be able to just stick with what they do offensively in this game. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Clemson's up by 17 or so, or 21 going into the fourth quarter. And if that happens, then Clemson's going to walk away a winner, because I just don't see Jalen Hurts and that offense being able to be multidimensional enough to score 30, 35, 40 points against Clemson. Could be wrong on all this, but I really, that's how I see these matchups. It's going to be interesting to see tonight. I'm very much looking forward to it. Who would have thought a couple years ago that the ACC would be in a position where they would come out as the nation's top conference, and a team other than Florida State from the ACC would be potentially beating Alabama for a national championship. This from a conference that lots of people a couple years ago thought was going to be dead and wasn't going to be a part of the Power Four, as people were expecting, and that, you know, Florida State and Clemson needed to get out because they weren't going to be able to get to the playoff with one loss. Well, Clemson did this year, and now has a real shot at winning a national title tonight against, I think, a Bama team that has more weaknesses than people realize, even though those weaknesses relative to most teams are strengths. I do think that against teams with some elite personnel in spots like Clemson has, there's some places where they can take advantage of what Alabama does and what they have on their roster. One last thing for those of you who are out there thinking about this from the perspective of Florida State, which is of course most of the listener audience here. Of course, Florida State plays Alabama in the first game next year, and this Bama team is going to lose a ton up front. That defense is going to lose, if I remember correctly, five of its top seven on the front seven going into next year, and then is also going to lose a couple key guys on the offensive line for next year. It's going to be a very, very different Alabama team when they play Florida State to open the regular season in 2017. But I think you're going to see some indication in this game against Clemson about how slim the margins are between Florida State and Alabama. And don't be surprised if once again, Charles Kelly's defense actually wound up looking better against what Clemson does, having faced that defense in the regular season as a sort of a warm-up for what they're facing against Alabama. Don't be surprised if Florida State winds up having put up a better overall defensive performance against Clemson than what Alabama does. Something else to keep an eye on. Be interesting going into the 2017 regular season if Clemson does win, because then you'd have the rare possibility of a Nick Saban team having a chance of losing two games back-to-back, which hasn't happened in a while. All right, well, that's going to do it for us here today on the Unconquered Podcast. This has been an Unconquered Podcast Extra on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening. I made this.